dialed has not been recognized. Please check and try again.
This is Ponyboy, and you are listening to episode number 26 of Bellcore Radio. It's going to be kind of a quick, maybe not a very good episode. So if you're listening, go ahead and just turn it off right now. I'm running a little behind schedule here. I've had a very hectic week, what with Innerzone over the weekend, and didn't have a lot of time. I had plenty of time, didn't take the opportunity to plan ahead about the show. So, gonna be just kind of a quick episode here, just gonna kind of throw it together. I'm recording this probably about exactly an hour before we're supposed to release it officially, so I don't even know if I'll be able to edit it in time. But I guess that's just how it goes. I wanted to start it off with actually some pretty cool stuff housekeeping wise. A lot of you guys are probably familiar with the website hackaday.com. I know a lot of people aren't really big fans of it, but I'm on there, or we're on there I should say. Bellcore Radio episode 24 made it on Hackaday. I think it was March 9th. The post on March 9th, they had a hacker podcasts post that had all sorts of cool stuff. It had Bellcore, it had, I think Twat was in there, and then some other cool stuff that you should probably check out. But yeah, so that was really cool to see. Unfortunately, they didn't link to the actual MP3 of the episode. They linked to the post on Hacker Media about the episode. So, I mean, I guess people can get the download right off of that, but, you know, we could use a couple hits on our site, if you think about that, if you're going to post another episode on there sometime. So that's, you know, Hackaday was pretty cool stuff. Hopefully we'll get some new listeners. If you're actually just now listening to the show for the first or second time, you know, welcome to the show. This is Belcore Radio. Sorry we couldn't make it a really good episode for you if it's your first time listening. But we do have a special surprise later on in the show. But a little bit more housekeeping before we get to that. There was a presentation at InnerZone by these really two cool guys. How the presentation came to be was apparently there was somebody canceled. They couldn't make it to the con or whatever, and they were supposed to present. So, you know, the con organizers were like, well, let's find somebody to fill it in. And these really cool, awesome, elite hackers, they took it over. They said, yeah, we'll take that time slot. And they threw together a presentation really quick, and it was really a horrible, horrible presentation. Those two awesomely elite hackers I'm talking about are me and my good buddy Droops from the Infonomicon Computer Club. We did a presentation, actually the last presentation of the con. On Sunday, we did a presentation about hacker media. And it was very, very bad, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. We threw it together in about 3 minutes, and then hid some Easter eggs and stuff in there. But it was pretty good. You can check it out. We've actually got the PowerPoint up there. It probably doesn't do much without the audio, which I hope Droops is going to be getting up sometime soon on Infonomicon. But there's a little secret. And this is that good news I mentioned earlier in the show. There's a little secret hidden in there somewhere. A little Easter egg, if you will. And if you find that Easter egg in this PowerPoint presentation, or actually, I'm going to link you guys to the PDF version of it. But if you find that little Easter egg and you email it to bellcoreradio@gmail.com, and if you're right, then I will send you some InnerZone swag. I've got tons of stickers from there. I'm not even sure what else I've got, but I'll mail you some stuff. So I can't stress this enough, because I don't want, you know, I have no use for your address unless you win this contest. The last few contests we had some people just kind of say, okay, here's my answer, and here's my address right now. Here it is. Please don't do that. Really, I mean, as soon as I get these people's addresses, and as soon as I send their stuff out, I delete their address. I have no record of it. And I mean, there's no need to send me the address unless I ask you to send it to me because you won. But anyways, you can check out the presentation to look for all this fun contest stuff. The link was kind of long, so I tiny URL'd it. It's tinyurl.com/EKVPU. That's EKVPU. So check it out, and if you find the secret hidden message, then you'll win some free swag. And There was a lot of cool stuff going on at InnerZone. It was a really fun time. Not quite as big as Freaknik was, people-wise. I'd say probably about half to... Well, yeah, maybe about half as many people were at InnerZone than there were at Freaknik. But it was a lot of fun. I liked that kind of atmosphere, because it really got to know just about every person at that con, you know? I mean, like, I could sit down at a table and have discussions with people, and, I mean, it was just really laid back and awesome. And, there were some really, really cool presentations that I saw. One that especially sticks out in my mind, and I really wish I could remember this guy's name now, actually, if anybody knows this, please let me know. I'd love to give this guy some shouts on the show or whatever, drop him an email or whatnot. But he presented it before at DEF CON 13, And basically, his presentation was about bypassing Windows logins. And what he did is basically he had two scripts that he had loaded onto a BART PE disk. And he would put it in the computer and, you know, boot up the CD, and it would install those two scripts on the computer. And what the first one did was it would change the OSK.exe, I think is what it is, the on-screen keyboard, to, instead of going to the on-screen keyboard, OSK.exe would go to the command prompt. So, since, you know, since on-screen keyboard is an accessibility feature, you can actually access it before you log in on Windows. So he would just access the on-screen keyboard, but instead of, you know, he would actually be accessing command prompt at a system level before he logged into the computer, which was really cool, just to start with. And so, you know, he, you know, showed, you know, fun little stuff you can see on there. And so then he opened up the task manager and found a process that was running on the user level. And he ran this little second script that he had, which basically takes that program that's running on the user level and impersonates it, so that the computer thinks that you are this user. And then you can just, you know, you've got command prompt at a user level. So you can view, you know, all the drives they have access to, or you can run explorer.exe, and you can boot directly into their desktop without having to log in. And I really, really wish I had thought to bring my thumb drive, because he released the actual script at Interzone. He didn't release them at DEF CON. I don't know why. There's probably some kind of reasoning behind it, but he held on to it, and he just released it at Interzone to, you know, just anybody who had a thumb drive, he'd give a couple people, and then they could kind of spread out from there. And I didn't have mine with me. So if anybody was there and they got a copy of that, emails, please. I'd love to get my hands on it. Let's see, what other cool talks were there? Of course, there was Stank Dog's talk. He did a talk about the art of electronic deduction. And basically, the point of his talk was that, just by looking at, you know, at someone's computer screen, you know, just like walking past them in the mall or something, in a cyber cafe, as they're sitting there, you know, on their laptop, just looking at their screen and looking at, you know, I mean, let's say that they're in Windows XP, looking at their taskbar and the little icons on their taskbar, you can kind of, by thinking about it, you know, thinking about what kind of person would have this program installed, you know, like, what kind of person would have NetStumbler installed? Would it be, you know, your average home user? Probably not. Would it be, you know, would it be a hacker? It very well might be. You know, but then you gotta, it was just, in general, stuff like that. Like, looking at things and, thinking about them. And the kind of stuff that you can just kind of put together out of common sense, without actually knowing the person, which I thought was really cool, you know. And I don't know, it's a really interesting concept to me. He actually has an article in the last issue of Belcore Radio, last issue of Blacklisted 411 magazine. I don't know, it's cool stuff. If you get a chance, I think he might post the presentation online, so if I can find the link to it or something, I'll let you guys know on the next episode or so. But yeah, just grab a copy of Blacklisted at your local bookstore or whatever and read that article, and it's really informative stuff. Let's see, there was a cool talk by Dr. Zygmunt. Basically, I liked it. It was very informative to me. It was It was about video editing using Adobe Premiere, I think is what he used. Which, I mean, you know, people, you know, it's not like, you know, the Leap Zero Day hacks and stuff that you'd think about, but they needed another presentation because somebody couldn't make it to the con, and so, you know, he was like, yeah, I'll fill in there. And it was a really good, it was a really good presentation. You know, I learned a lot from it. Because, I mean, like, he did some really... I guess if you're good at video editing, it's not complicated stuff. But I'm a total noob. You know, I've always wanted to do a cool, you know, internet TV show or whatever. But I'm a noob. I don't know how to, you know, it took me, what, probably a good 15 episodes of Belcore Radio before I figured out how to use Audacity right. And Audacity is a really simple tool. But, yeah, I mean, it was a cool presentation, and, got a little sneak peek of the first episode of Hack TV Underground, which is a pretty fun little show. It's basically, all the people who submit stuff to, Hack TV that just don't send it in with very good video quality, you know, stuff's kind of grainy. They're just going to start taking that stuff and putting it into Hack TV Underground, which is, you know, it's supposed to have the underground feel to it and be edgy and grainy and rough. Basically, they're just like, yeah, this is, you know, it's good enough quality to where you can see it, but it's not good enough quality to where it's, like, really, really good quality. So, we'll put it in this show. And it was actually a really fun time, you know. I mean, it was just kind of a fun little joking around video so far. But hopefully it should be coming out with some real stuff soon. And I'm looking forward to it, if you're listening, Ziggy. There was an interesting, very, very interesting presentation by a guy named Ben Mack. Ben Mack is probably one of the coolest guys I met while I was at that con. He is actually, and from what I gathered, he's kind of a strange dude, and some of the stuff was kind of hard to follow, but he works in marketing or advertisement. And basically what his presentation was about was corporate marketing strategies and, you know, how they can advertise to you without directly saying, you know, here's this thing you should buy. You know, how they can put things around you, put things on TV, in, you know, product placements or whatever, or just in general, and people will be kind of like, hey, that's a good thing, I'll buy that now. Just because they kind of see it out of the corner of their eye and don't really notice it. But it was a really, really cool presentation. It reminded me a lot of Anti-Meme Radio, which is a great show, by the way. Check that show out. Yeah, I mean, it was just really cool, and he's a very, very interesting guy to talk with. You know, I spent most of the time at that con talking to Ben Mack and, of course, you know, Stank and Troops and all those guys, and, ate a lot of grilled cheese sandwiches, surprisingly. I'm not gonna go into that. But let's just say that from this con, I got a whole new appreciation for grilled cheese sandwiches. Yeah, I think that about wraps it up for Inner Zone stuff. I've rambled on about things like that for long enough. But again, if, you know, that contest, I'll send you Inner Zone stuff if you get this cool, you know, if you find our cool hidden Easter egg. Now, what I want to do right now is, I want to give out the Lack of Security Award, which we haven't given out in a few episodes. And, actually, I want to give this one out to the CIA. Because, the CIA got totally owned, by the Chicago Tribune. Basically, I think it was the Chicago Tribune. Well, it's reported in the Chicago Tribune. I think that's who did it. Basically, they uncovered the records of, like, 2,600 CIA employees, which is a very big number, you know, when you really think about it. That's, I mean, let's see, direct quote, when the Tribune searched a commercial online data service, the result was a virtual directory of more than 2,600 CIA employees, 50 internal agency phone numbers, and the location of some 24 secret CIA facilities around the United States. There's a word for this, and that word is pwned. You really would think that of all people in the world, the CIA would not just have shit like this just sitting out on the internet. You know, I mean, the CIA has, they're very good at hiding things and keeping secrets. So you wouldn't really think that they just have their shit laying out on the internet for people to just come and, like, harvest. But, yeah, so, thumbs up to the CIA for getting the lack of security award for this amount of time until we give out the next one. Some cool stuff. As you all know, here on Belcore Radio, we are big advocates of the future. And, everyone knows that we will definitely be in the future when we all have cool little wrist computer walkie-talkie cell phone things. And guess what? There's a company in Europe called Eurotech. Yeah, called Eurotech. And they've made a product called the WWPC, which stands for Wrist-Worn PC. And what that is exactly what it sounds like. It's a computer that you wear on your wrist, and it runs, it can either run Windows CE, or get this, it can run Linux. You can actually get it with Linux installed on it. I'm not sure what distro they're going to use or whatever, but Linux on your cool little wrist computer is the coolest thing I've heard of a long time. It's really, I mean, like, you know, people would think, oh, you know, it's not that bad. It weighs 7 ounces, which is, like, nothing, you know. It's got, listen to the specs on these things. It's got 32 megs of flash memory and 64 megs of SD RAM. It's got Wi-Fi enabled, Bluetooth enabled, it's got USB ports, built-in speakers and headphone stuff, touchscreen, I think that's about it. But is that's the future. That's that thing that I was promised when I was a 6-year-old child, that one day I would be able to have a cool little wrist computer. And now it's right there. Like, I can buy this thing. I'm sure it's unbelievably expensive, but I can get it if I want to. And I mean, like, I'm excited. This is so cool. Just that this thing exists. Sure, I'll probably never own one in my entire life, but the fact that it's there now, like, the future is right there. That thing I've wanted my whole life is right there. You know, it amazes me. I mean, it's like the only thing that's missing in my life now is a rocket car that runs Linux. Everything in the future is gonna run Linux, and this little fucking wrist thing is the start of it all. Perfect example. Just recently, in fact, I think it was today, maybe yesterday, Sony announced that there was going to be a little bit of a delay for the PlayStation 3. And that's, you know, made some people sad. But a really cool thing about this PlayStation 3 they're going to come out with, it's going to come with Linux on it. Again, I'm not sure what distribution. Probably some kind of custom flavor, you know, Sony PS3 Linux XT or whatever. But, it's a game console, and it comes with Linux on it. Right out of the box. You know, it's not something you have to go buy a mod chip for and put in there, and then, you know, if you put Linux on it, then you won't be able to play any games on it ever again, or whatever. It's gonna be a game console that runs Linux natively. That's so cool to me. I mean, actually, there's been a lot of big news for Linux lately. SUSE Enterprise, which everyone knows that SUSE is my favorite distro there is. SUSE, what is it? SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop 10, or SLED is what they're calling it, is, they're saying that this can, you know, you can kick Windows to the curb, and this will work just as well for you. Which, I agree, really. I mean, like, I've had SUSE on my computer for, probably about a month now. I'm not a huge Linux guy, you know. I mean, I can work with it. I can, you know, use it for stuff. I'm not that good with it. It's taking me a long time to get used to it. But the fact that it really is. SUSE is, like, probably the best distro I've had experience with for people in my position. You know, people who aren't really, like, you know, computer geniuses like most hackers would consider themselves. People that know enough about computers to be able to do fun stuff on occasion. But, you know, I mean, I've worked with Windows my whole life, you know. Ever since I had my first computer, I've run Windows on it. But it's, I mean, like, it's really cool. Like, SUSE is as close to Windows as I've gotten with Linux, you know, and it's easy to use. And, apparently their enterprise desktop is supposed to be right on par with Windows as far as, you know, office programs and all sorts of shit like that. And, I'm inclined to agree. And it's not because, you know, oh, he's the hacker radio guy, so he has to talk shit about Windows all the time. I kind of like Windows, you know? Windows does what I want it to do. I'm used to Windows, and the only gripe I have is that it, you know, it's not really open source, and I can't get it for free. Legally, I can't get it for free. That's my big gripe about it. But, this is gonna be cool. I really would like to see if this happens. I'd like to see if SUSE really does start kind of nudging, because, you know, Red Hat started it. Red Hat started nudging Windows out, you know, because Red Hat was the big name in Linux for a while. And I think SUSE is gonna be one of those next big names that you hear a lot of you know, it's gonna be the buzz distro, if you will. You know, it might not be the most powerful distro. You know, it might not be Slackware, it might not be Gentoo or whatever the really great distros that the Linux gurus use. But it's a really good distro, and it's easy to use, and that is what's really gonna make it in the desktop market. Gentoo is an awesome distribution. Don't get me wrong, Slackware is an awesome distribution. But not everyone, average users aren't going to be able to, you know, they're not going to be, they're, I mean, they might, it'll take them a while, but they're not going to want to. They're used to Windows where they put the CD in and it loads up and they click a few things and type in a few words and then they're good. That's what desktop, regular, average, you know, average Joe computer desktop users want. They want to just be able to do stuff like that. And SUSE, that's SUSE right there in a nutshell. You put the CD in, it goes through some stuff, you enter in some information, and it's more or less done. So, I want to see this. I want to see more people switching to SUSE. If you've never used Linux, go grab, you know, download SUSE 10 or whatever. I think 10's the latest one they've come out with. Or go, I want to say it was Linux Format Magazine or Linux Magazine or one of the Linux mags actually just came out last month, I think it was, with a special issue that was completely devoted to SUSE 10, to installing it, to all sorts of cool software you can run with it, and just everything cool. It came with, like, I think 5 CDs of stuff. So if you still have, you know, if your bookstore still has one of those on the shelves, go grab a copy. And just, you know, I'm sure, you know, if you got a spare box laying around, yeah, put SUSE on it. Play around. It's fun, you know, maybe, you know, hook up a little network and just, you know, just have some fun with it. That's what, you know, Linux is a fun thing to play with. Unfortunately, it's not always, I mean, it is very secure. Linux is a very secure operating system, but it's not always as secure as we'd like to hope. And, a distro that I've been fond of ever since, you know, I first got chances to play with it, Ubuntu, actually just, someone just found a pretty harsh exploit for Ubuntu. Basically, there's an exploit for Ubuntu that allows you to read root passwords in clear text. As far as I know, they have issued a patch for it, or whatever you want to call it, which is good. I'm glad that they've got. I want to say this was maybe a few days old that I read this post. Maybe over the weekend. But, I mean, it's, you know, the fact that they jumped on it that quick is really good. The Ubuntu community is, they make a good distro, and they support it very well. And, you know, I think this is the only exploit or flaw that I've heard of so far, as, you know, in this respect, in security-wise. I mean, I've heard a lot of people complaining about, you know, oh, it's not powerful as this distro, and that's, you know, that, I don't know. I can't vouch. But, if you're running Ubuntu 1.5 or 15.0 or whatever it is now, I don't even know, patch it. You know, go get the security updates. Okay, here we go, 5.10. I knew there was a 5 in there. 5.10. It's Breezy Badger, I believe, is the release name for it. But yeah. Actually, I'm going to tiny URL this for all of our hacker friends. Not tiny ULR, tiny URL. Let's try that again. tinyurl.com/FV. FV as in violin, SR3, and that is actually a link directly to the code and stuff for viewing these passwords in clear text, so if you can check it out and see if you're vulnerable to this exploit or not. But yeah, Linux is, that's an exception, not the rule, you know. Microsoft Windows has, generally, there's patches, you know, issued all the time, because they're finding exploits all the time. Windows is, tends to be a lot more secure, but I think that might also just be because not a lot of people use it, so people aren't really, you know, the evil, you know, malicious script kiddies and hackers or whatever you want to call them, they're not really focusing on that because they're, you know, they gotta create their internet anarchies and they're gonna target whoever they can take down the most people, you know, and right now that's Windows. But, yeah, make the switch to Linux. Just try it out. Put it on a spare box and just fuck with it for a while. And you'll have fun. I guarantee it. You will have some fun. You'll have some stress. I'm not gonna say it's not stressful on occasion. But you'll have some fun. And I want you guys to remember that. This is gonna be the end of the episode. But I want you to remember that. No matter what you do, you know, have some fun with it. You know, try a new distro. If you're using Linux right now, try a new distro. Try something that you've always wanted to try, but you've heard it's difficult. Just check it out. Have some fun with it. If it gets to be where it's not fun, go back to what you're used to. Go back to what you're good at. But try, you know, you never know. You never know what you're going to find that's going to be better or more fun. And that's it. That's the end of the episode. Thanks for listening. Yeah, I don't know how to end this one. Thanks for listening. Until next time, guys, as always, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. I got some shouts, actually. I got a lot of shouts here. I want to give shouts to everyone I met at InnerZone, first of all. I want to give shouts to Linox, Stankdog, Dr. Zygman, Droops, and Claire Huxtable. Rick, Ben, Mac. I want to give shouts to Rocket and Cleon. And, I'm sure there's other people. I'm giving everybody that was there. All of them. Johnny X, especially. Cool guy. I also want to give shouts to a guy named Blackjack. He sent us an email about, those numbers I'd been calling at airports, you know, that talked about the weather and the wind speed and all that stuff. He sent us an email, about, with a cool number that you could enter in, you know, whatever city or whatever airport you wanted, and it would give you the weather at that airport. Unfortunately, the number is now a pay service. I think it was, 1-877, 269-2907. 1-877 AWOS. But yeah, it's a pay service now. I was really looking forward to calling it on the show, but unfortunately can't do it. But either way, thanks Blackjack for dropping that stuff on us. If you're listening, send me the link to that website so I can talk about that on the next show. But yeah, anyways, until next time, guys, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. And end of file.